Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 64.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Recently, someone in our group shared a post on the topic of decision fatigue, which in decision making and psychology refers to the deteriorating quality of decisions made by an individual after a long session of decision making. So, you know, when if you've had a really big day at work and you go out for dinner and you just can't even comprehend trying to decide what it is that you're going to have for dinner because you've just made too many decisions during the day. This is now understood as one of the causes of irrational trade-offs in decision-making. So decision fatigue can explain why we're able to eat well in the morning but make poor food choices at night. And it also explains why we put a really good amount of thought into an important decision in the morning but have no dramas making a snap decision about the same thing later in the day. So for instance, if one of your friends suggests going on a holiday on a Monday morning, you'll think really hard about it. But if it's Thursday and you've had two glasses of wine, you're like, shut up and take my credit card. So in short, the more decisions we make over the course of a day, the less able we are to make good decisions by the end of that day, because every decision that we have to make saps our energy in some way. What do you reckon, Kel?
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. This I've written about this quite a few times on my blog, and it's also featured in all three of my books. And it's funny because when I can't remember who it was that posted it in about it in the group, but I was like, oh, I've been talking about this for years, guys. Come on. But yeah, you know, it's the reason I have a green smoothie for breakfast every morning. It's the reason I have a very limited wardrobe. Anything that I am able to do over the course of a day to reduce the number of decisions I need to make, I do it because I think mainly so that I don't have to call on willpower very often, because I don't have very good willpower. I know people credit me with that and with discipline. The reality is I sometimes wonder if half the things I do self-improvement wise in my life, I've only done them because I don't have any willpower. So I need all the help that I can get. You're good with willpower, Carls.
I am actually good with willpower. So I just went 3 months without booze. So from the 1st of January up until the 31st of March, I had no alcohol. And that's the longest I've gone without alcohol as an adult. And that was actually really fine. And I broke it on my brother's wedding, which I was actually really good. I really thought I'd have to be carried out on a stretcher. Because I'm a really cheap drunk, but I'm not sure if I've spoken to you guys about my concept of piss fitness. So it's where if you drink a lot and you're well seasoned, you have good piss fitness. If you've not had a lot, you've got really shit piss fitness.
Which is what I never drink.
I'm
the cheapest drunk ever.
But see, I actually think that if you drank more and worked really hard on piss fitness, you could be like starting to run marathons and things. So, but I know that if I cut back on booze, my piss fitness is really, really rubbish. So I really watched myself at my brother's wedding, but it was quite fine. I also was able to quit social smoking about 3 years ago, and I hate telling people that I quit social smoking. Mm. Like, how gross is it that I used to social smoke? I'm so embarrassed. But it was a thing that I did, and I think it's important to talk about because a lot of people, the reason why I talk about it is because I didn't think I did it. I didn't think I was a smoker. I was like, I'm not a smoker. And then everyone was like, but you, every time I see you, you're smoking. And I'm like, see, that is what that appears to be, but social smoking is a different thing, and it's actually not. So no. The second I admitted to myself that I was a smoker, it was much easier to quit, and that was really huge. And I did that purely through willpower and avoiding all my smoking friends for a while. My thing with willpower, though, is that I have to be tuned into it. So if I'm not concentrating, I can make really bad decisions. So I'll be like, if I'm not tuned into my goals at the moment or what I'm trying to stop doing, I'll be like, yeah, I'll have a Tim Tam champagne whiskey freak shake smoke from a bomb. Sure. Like I'm totally FOMO. So I'd say yes to everything unless I'm in willpower mode, in which case I'll say no. So, but I'm an upholder, so willpower is pretty much the only thing I have going for me.
Yeah, that's interesting because I'm an upholder too, but I think I've had to create things that allow me to maintain my upholder status, which is, yeah, creating like routines and habits and stuff that allow me to be actually disciplined.
I also think you're quite stubborn. So for you, it's not willpower, it's defiance.
Yeah, I am stubborn.
So it'll be like, well, I don't need a timer because screw you, timers. You're not the boss of me.
It's so stupid. I don't need no streak app. I shall colour in my stars on my piece of paper. anyway, so today... We are going to cover the things that we do, you and I, over the course of a day or just in general in life to reduce the number of decisions that we have to make so that we are not suffering from decision fatigue all the time. So, Carl, you kick us off.
I want to start off with suggesting minimalism. It's been a huge buzzword movement thing in the last couple of years. But honestly, the less stuff you have, the less decisions you have to make. So for instance, I've gone so hardcore with my minimalism that I'm going on a trip to Indonesia in a couple of weeks and I have one pair of swimmers in the whole world. So those are the ones I'm taking. That's already a decision made and done. I'm one of the only people I know that has only one pair of swimmers. I've got people who have a pair for, you know, lying by the pool, but you don't swim in those ones. And then you've got these other ones that you use for other things. And I'm just kind of going, it's all the same thing. I don't understand what this is. So just get things down to as minimal possessions as you possibly can. I'm also living away from my house for a month and I've got about 5 trans-seasonal dresses, a couple of pairs of tights, one pair of flats and a pair of boots and I'm done. I don't even really wear jewelry anymore, which like I don't even know myself because I used to be hard into jewelry, like hard. And I just think it's about simply choosing where to use your energy and to not waste it on stuff that doesn't matter. Having said that, though, if fashion is your chocolate and that's the thing you love, absolutely use your energy on that. I use all of my decision-making energy on crocheting. I'll be like, do I want this yarn or do I want to make this project? And that's where I spend all my... It's like having an allowance that you can spend on making decisions and you choose where you want to spend that allowance. I do not spend that allowance on fashion and I straight up do not spend that allowance on food, which I will get to.
Yes, I like that one. And my first tip is also is similar issue, which is to have a uniform, which might seem so boring, but if it's not too boring for Barack Obama, it's not too boring for me. So yeah, as you know, as Carl said, if fashion is really your bag and you love building a new outfit every day and that's, you know, that's what makes you happy, then by all means do it. But if fashion is not your bag and it's definitely not mine, yeah, create some kind of work uniform. So like on the days that I'm in the office, like I have this long black skirt and a top that I wear. And I, you know, if it's like kind of mid-season, which is where we like, you know, funny autumn, springy type season where it's not hot and it's not cold, I have a 3/4 length shirt that I wear with my black skirt. If it's winter, I wear boots and a warmer shirt but same skirt, and if it's summer I wear a short sleeve top and the same skirt, and it's brilliant. And I just think guys do it, like everyone that works in this office, all the guys, they wear jeans and they change the shirt, or in the case of Ant, he has he has like 3 identical shirts with the Swish logo on it, like, you know. And I don't understand why it's good enough for guys but not good enough for us. So, yeah, that's what I do. I create a uniform. I actually have a home uniform as well. I have these black kind of cargo-y kind of pants and I wear and I kind of actually rotate out the same shirts, I think, as I do in the office. And it's easy and no one cares and I don't have to think about it. And it allows me to put out my clothes the night before so that I don't even have to make a decision in the morning about what I'm going to wear because it's already there. So, yep, so that's me. So what's your second thing, Carl?
My second thing is to pick one thing. So if you have decision fatigue on a weekend where you want to do something productive in your day, because I like doing that, so I assume everyone does. If you choose to clean on a weekend, choose one thing to do and stick to it. So just say you choose vacuuming on a Saturday. That's the thing you're doing and that's it. So it just makes you focus on that one thing that you have to do and it stops you getting relax guilt. Does anyone get relax guilt where you like go to relax and chill out but you haven't done anything to deserve it that day? Does anyone else get that?
I don't relax until everything is done.
So. I thought that was a complete sentence. I don't relax.
No, I do relax, stop. But I schedule time for relaxing. But I'm pretty sure I'm in the minority when it comes to that. I schedule white space. I schedule relax time, but I make sure to schedule cleaning up time first before I – Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I'm very bad at relaxing without having done my stuff first, but it's if you just pick that one thing that you have to do, it stops you from going, oh, am I going to clean the bathroom or am I going to clean out that cupboard or is there this other thing I'm going to do? You just do that one thing and then you get over it and it stops you from wasting time procrastinating on doing things or even procrastinating on making a decision, which is even worse. It's just such a great time saver.
Deciding whether you're going to decide about something. Like, oh my God, that's the biggest, this is such a, and because this is what decision fatigue is. Like every decision that you make over the course of a day, there is literally like a bank of energy with regard to decision making. So every time you make a decision, it taps that bank of energy. So and all these tiny little decisions that you're making and like little conversations that you're having with yourself. And that's, I guess, what the tips that we're sharing today are all about, is trying to reduce those like conversations where you're negotiating with yourself or where you're agonizing back and forth about something that is not worth your energy. That's what we're trying to eliminate from your day. So my second thing is to create some kind of boundaries. So even things like if you've ever done like a style, you know, one of those Instagram style challenges where someone like Vanessa from Style and Shenanigans used to do these where for a week, like, you know, on Monday it would be the theme would be navy and on Tuesday the theme would be stripes. And if you've ever done one of those, you'll just see how much easier it makes deciding what to wear for the day, because all of a sudden, instead of having your whole wardrobe to look at, you're only looking at two tops. Either I wear that, you know, the red striped top or the blue striped top. So wherever you can in the day, create boundaries. So you might create boundaries around your work hours. So you might say, I'm only working between, you know, 9 and 5. And at 5 o'clock, I turn off my computer. And that means is at 5 o'clock, instead of sitting there and debating with yourself, should I keep going and finish this thing? Or, you know, if I do this thing tonight, then I won't need to do it tomorrow. Like, no, you've created the boundary and you have told yourself 5 o'clock, the computer goes off, end of story.
And then you don't waste that half an hour at the end of the day not getting that thing done because you don't want to do it and you haven't decided whether or not you're going to do it.
Yeah. It's a waste of energy. And the other thing I like to do is I kind of decree to myself that I don't make big decisions after 3 p.m. Just because I know that making decisions when I'm tired and have low energy means I don't make good decisions. So if a good decision needs to be made about something, like, you know, quite often like Ant, and he comes home in the afternoon after work, like, you know, we'll go for a walk, and while we're walking as a family, like, he'll be like, oh, you know, I need to ask you about this and we need to decide. And I'm like, nope. We are not making, it's like 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm not having a conversation about something that we have to decide on like now. If you want, let's talk about this tomorrow morning, because if I make a decision about something right now, my decision's going to be like, whatever, fuck it, I don't care. Sorry, just got us an explicit for this episode. But so create boundaries around wherever you can and wherever is practical, because every boundary that you create will actually reduce the amount of decisions that you have to make about that thing. So,
well, actually, on that topic, that's really interesting. I've recently been doing some research on the zero waste movement, mm-hmm. which is fascinating. It's basically people who decide to create zero waste, and they have these things called trash jars, and it'll be a 1 liter jar, and they won't produce any more trash than what will fit in that jar in the space of like a year. So they buy all of their groceries and things out of packages. They don't buy, like, they make all their own beauty products and things. I try very hard to be environmentally conscious. I'm actually quite freaked out about the state of our planet, and it's something that I'm trying to be more and more conscious of. So I've started doing a create zero waste challenge for the next month. I'm going to do it for a month on my own, and then if it works really well, I'd quite like to run it and see if people want to do it with me. So one thing I'm doing is I take a takeaway container with me everywhere, a glass one with me. So if I'm out and about, because I eat out a lot, and if I'm going to grab a salad from, you know, Sumo Salad for lunch, I'll give them the container and then they'll fill it up and then so I'm not wasting
stuff. Yeah.
And it's actually made decision making. It's removed so many decisions. So when I shop, I'll go, it's not do I get this cheese or this cheese? It's I don't get either cheese because they're full of packaging. And I go to my local grocer down the road and get them to give me the one type of cheese that they have in my own takeaway container.
So it's really good. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It's really great. And it's very healthy. It's very simple. And it's really, yeah, it's made my life so much more simple. Yeah, it's really interesting. So yeah, I think that's a good thing with challenges, and they can sometimes have unknown side effects of them. So I'm not doing this challenge for decision fatigue. I'm doing it for the environment, but it's also had all of these really excellent byproducts. I do have to show you guys the funniest photo though. Someone remind me, I did the most hipster thing this morning. I got because like seriously, I've reached peak level hipster now. Because I really struggle to find a takeaway cup, like a keep cup. I love keep cups, but I don't like drinking out of plastic.
Yeah.
I'm being funny about plastic. And so I want to drink out of glass, but the glass keep cups are not dishwasher safe. So I've started drinking my takeaway coffee out of a glass jar. So And the thing is that it's really hot. So this morning I usually have like a cloth thing that I take to the cafe to hold it so I don't burn my hand, but I couldn't find my cloth. So I picked up these two crocheted coasters that I made and I carried it into the coffee store, and I asked for an almond latte with my glass jar with my hand crocheted little coaster things to hold it so I don't burn my hand, and I just wanted to kick myself. I just who am I? Who have you become, Carly? Honestly.
Oh my god, the picture I have in my head of you in your crocheted top.
Yeah.
Over your self crocheted top that you made yourself. Oh, and your crowdsourced haircut. More on that later.
Sorry, back to the point. So my third one for decision fatigue is stop caring. So, for example, people who spend like 20 minutes trying to figure out what they're going to order for lunch at cafes that they've been to 20 times before, I just watch these decisions and they're just completely torturous. So if you struggle with what you're going to eat, first of all, I know this is so easy for Kelly and I to say because we're not foodies. And food is fuel for us. We definitely get some enjoyment out of food.
We enjoy it, but
collie rice and dirt chocolate, as we said in the last episode. But I think that people just need to get over that. Not every even if you are a foodie, not every single meal needs to be a delight for your taste buds.
A gastronomical feast. Like,
just get in and get out. Like, food is such a waste of time for people. Again, unless it's your chocolate, and then you can spend your decision quota on food.
Don't go for lunch with us, because we'll be like, yeah, choosing.
Please
God
don't. Just pick a freaking salad before I throttle you. So I think one of the best things you can do. So if you need to make food decisions and food is very important to you, absolutely. But if you're just stressing for no reason about food, just always pick the healthiest thing. So choose a salad or an omelet. Don't overthink it. Just do it. It's not going to be the last meal that you have, hopefully. And if you get an average salad, you won't die. So just stop fretting over food. Unless it's going to kill you from an allergy, don't waste time and energy on it. Or unless it's your thing that you really love, then use your time and energy on it. But if you're just faffing around for no reason, freaking out about food, rein it in, pick the healthiest thing, eat it, enjoy it, or don't enjoy it if it's not great, and just move
and
on.
Get out, and then get the hell out of there.
Yeah, and just get over it. Like, don't waste time on food unless you have to.
Or choose the thing that you always get. Because you know what, like the amount of people are like, oh, I always get this thing and I love it, but I'm going to see if, you know, maybe I should get something else different. No, get the thing that you always get, because you know you're going to enjoy it, and you can pretty much guarantee that the thing that you're thinking of getting is going to disappoint you. Just saying.
I actually have a friend who, this was years and years ago, and I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I would always order the same thing that she would order when we went out for dinner, and her now husband would joke about it. Because they'd go out for dinner with me and then I'd order and they'd like stick it to themselves because I ordered whatever my mate Fliss was ordering. And they were just like, do you know that you order the same thing that Fliss orders every time we go out? for dinner. And I was like, yeah, because I don't want to waste time on that decision. I don't care. Like, Fliss is a great orderer. She orders good stuff. Just give me what she's going to have.
Yeah, it's a good policy.
Yeah.
So my third one is to build good habits around the things that ordinarily require willpower, because it's that whole grappling and calling on willpower to make a decision about something. I find that really, really tiring. So it's that thing like where you're lying in bed and the alarm's gone off and you're like, oh, should I go for a run today or should I go for a run tomorrow? Should I have another 15 minutes of sleep before I wake up? Or like that to me, and especially when it's a first thing in the morning thing, and I'm just like, oh my God, you're using up so much valuable decision-making energy and it's like the very first thing that you're doing in the morning. Don't do that. So yeah, so that's why I've built out all these habits where I get up at the same time every single morning. I don't think about it. I don't spend time at night going, what time should I set my alarm clock for tomorrow? It's the same time every day, even on weekends. And I know that.
Do you get up at 4:30 on weekends?
4:15.
On weekends?
Yeah, because, yeah, it's just easier. I find it easier. Sometimes I will set my alarm for 4:15. But give myself permission to lie in bed till 5 and then it's asleep in.
You rebel.
No. But
just calm down, Kelly. Calm down.
But it's just easier. I just find it easier. So, you know, I build – so and I exercise every day so that I don't have to – because as Gretchen Rubin has pointed out, it is much easier to do something every day than some days. If it's some days you're like, well, okay. I do like your – it's either if I don't do it today, it's – you've got to do it tomorrow or the day before, so you never go more than one day without exercise. But, yeah, it's creating those kind of rules where, okay, if I'm not going to do it today, I must do it tomorrow. And it's that kind of if-then thing, if you're not going to do something every day. But
also, if you do struggle with that kind of thing, getting up in the morning and exercising, I find one thing that really helps is to make it not negotiable. So yeah. I will do something like book in for a class that I will lose money if I don't go. Or, so for instance, I'm at the farm at the moment, at my partner's family farm, and his grandma walks with her retiree walking group every morning at 6:30. And if I make a plan to go for a walk with grandma in the morning, if I'm not dressed and out the door in my sneakers at 6:30 on the dot, she will walk into the bedroom and be like, Carly, are you coming for a walk? So you absolutely, and there's nothing more terrifying than your partner's grandmother walking into your bedroom when you're sleeping. So that's the thing. Make it not negotiable. Meet a friend, because you know, letting down a friend will get you out of bed. Losing money will get you out of bed. If you're just lying there kind of trying to convince yourself to get out of bed, of course you're not going to, because there's no consequence.
No one's a better negotiator with ourselves than ourselves. So, like, we're basically all toddlers in that regard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're number 4.
Oh, is it my turn again? Yeah. Sorry, I've just – so my number 4 is to outsource it. I literally outsourced my last haircut. So I got a whole bunch of photos of what my hair has looked like every few years for the last few years, like with a fringe, long, short, without a fringe, popped it all up on Facebook and said – what should I do with my hair? And everyone basically said the same style, which was sort of which is what my hair looks like right now. And they said, do that. And I went, okay. And I did it. And it was great. And that saved so much time from scrolling through Pinterest for hours or obsessing because, you know, I wanted a particular haircut that wouldn't work on my hair. I could only pick from what my hair can already do. And I got other people to choose, because I think sometimes you need to have other people's opinions on things, because you can project images onto yourself that aren't necessarily the right thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it was great and I don't regret it, and it saved me lots and lots of time. And people were so into it, I think.
I was adamant, no fringe. Yeah, the long kind of, no, there was no contest.
Yeah, but I think like about 400 people commented on that photo. It's bizarre. Oh, people love having opinions about stuff, and I really appreciate it, but people were just so into it. They were like, oh, well, I really think with your cheekbones, you know, you really want to go on this one. I was like, this is great. I'm going to outsource all my decisions forever, like bacon or sausages for breakfast.
That's awesome. That's one way to get engagement on your Facebook page, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. So my number 4 is kind of, you know, similar to habits, but it's routine. So what's the difference between a habit and a routine? Like a habit is something – you kind of mandate to yourself that you build out every day, but routines are a sequence of events effectively. And I have routines for every single thing that it's possible humanly to build a routine around. And, you know, a lot of people push back against routines and they think they are boring and restrictive. I find them so freeing. And the main reason I find them freeing is that because they free me from my head. Like anyone who knows me knows I spend a lot of time thinking. So anything that reduces the amount of time that I have to spend. It was funny. Ant goes to me the other day. He goes, because I must have said something random to him. And he was just like, do you ever not think? And I was just like, looked at him and I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, of course, I always like. What do you do if you're not thinking? I couldn't process the question. But having said that, anything that reduces the amount of thoughts tumbling through my head and the logistifying, like the logistic stuff that does my head in, that's a good thing. And that's what routines do. So, like in the morning when I'm doing our morning, like 7 to 7:30 routine, which is where I kind of, you know, make the green smoothie and make the kids their toast for breakfast and pack lunch boxes. Like I'm not thinking that whole time. I'm just going through the motions of what I do every single morning. And I actually consider that like a bit of downtime in my morning. So it's for other people, it's kind of quite a busy, stressful part of their day. For me, it's actually downtime because it's so routined out now that I don't have to think. So I'm not having to think, what am I going to put in this green smoothie? Because I make the same thing every morning. Oh, what am I going to put in the kids' sandwiches? No, I make the same sandwiches for my kids every day, which quite happily they like. So yeah, so anything that can be built out around a routine, do it because it reduces the amount you're thinking. And it's all those micro decisions. It's those are the killers that you don't realize add up to something like complete fatigue by the end of the day. So or if you can eliminate as many of those little micro decisions as you can over the course of a day and a week, you're just going to be so much better set up for, yeah, making good decisions late in the day and late in the week later. So, yeah, routines, get them.
I'm a huge fan of routines also. Love a good routine.
Like I'm like the messy, like I'm starting a cult of cleanliness and a cult of routines. Join in now. All right, your last one, Carls.
My number five is to trust yourself. I really think that you know the answer.
I love that.
So if you're sitting there on like a Friday night and you're thinking, do I want to go to this party or do I want to sit on my couch and neck a bottle of wine with my best mate? It's always number two. That's what you want to do. You think you want to go to the party? You don't. You know exactly what it is that you want to do that night. So that's the thing. I think people cloud their judgment with other people's expectations of themselves, also their own expectations of themselves. So sometimes because I am quite FOMO and I'm a bit of a social butterfly as well, sometimes I will flirt with the idea of going to a party that I don't particularly want to go to just because I kind of feel like that's what people would expect me to want to do and that's what I would want people to think I want to do. And I'm just like, just stop all of this and I'm just going to call my bestie and we're going to have a bottle of wine and that's going to make me happy. So that's just a little example of the type of decision when you can't figure out what you want to do. You know what you want to do.
Yeah, I love that. My final one is one for the parents. And like I always say, the days I get most decision fatigue is the weekend days. I don't, because they're the days that by, because normally like the kids are at school or at daycare and they're gone early in the morning. But on the weekends, like for a long while there, I was like getting to like lunchtime and I just wanted to kill everybody in my house and I couldn't quite figure out why. And then I realized it was because by the time it got to like 10 o'clock, I had already been asked to make about 7,000 decisions because it's not only just my own day that I'm managing. Like I've got the kids coming to me going, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I have this? Can I eat that? Can I go outside? Can I go? Where are we going? And every single one of those questions is a decision. So, and a lot of them are asking like, you know, can I go on my iPad or, you know, can I watch this movie or can I eat this thing? And so the way that I've found to really reduce that other than can you go and ask dad, I'm not the only adult in this house. The other way I found to reduce that is just to have really firm rules around things. So like now Jaden doesn't ask me if he can use his iPad because he knows he gets half an hour a day. So He doesn't have to come and ask me if he can have a bit more, because it's like the answer is no. The kids don't have sweets in, you know, before lunchtime, you know, like lollies or ice cream. Although Jaden did come and ask me this morning, can I have ice cream at like 6:30 in the morning? And I was like,
legend.
Dude, are you serious? Get out of my study.
Kelly, like we agree on a lot of things, but can I just say it's always time for ice cream and wine.
At 6:30.
Never too early for wine.
But yeah, so that's it.
Look,
yeah.
It has been done.
Oh, of course. I mean, and then we went for breakfast, and what was there on waffles? Ice cream. So that put paid to my rule on that. Yeah, anywhere you can set a rule, even though rules are painful to enforce, the pain point that will allow you to enforce them is the fact that, yeah, you won't have to make that decision over and over and over. Is it okay for them to have ice cream in the morning just this once? Like, that's too tiring. Like, just make a blanket rule for stuff. And yeah, that's it for today. But I just wanted to, we were talking about this off air and before, I just wanted to give another shout out to the group. I know we shout out to the Straight and Curly Facebook group a lot in this show, but the thing is, like, you guys just make us feel really good about ourselves. You give us lots of gold stars, and we so, so appreciate it. Like, it's quite funny. It's every time I'm feeling a little bit like tired or, oh, what's the point? And, oh, am I really, you know, are we really connecting with anyone? And I'm talking about like with writing and podcasting and all the various things I personally do online. Without fail, like an email will drop in my inbox, or someone will put a message in the group and just, you know, say thank you and that something really resonated with them. And yeah, it's always so appreciated. Like, it, you know, quite often I think we hold back, and I've written about this before, we'll hold back from saying thank you to people or telling people that something they've done is, you know, has impacted our lives positively, because we don't want to sound like a stalker or a weird kind of fangirl type thing. But as someone who receives these nice messages, I can always say you can't get enough of them. And it's made me also, like, I kind of mandate to myself that once a week I reach out to someone if I really like what they've done. Like, I recently reached out to Brian Reed from S-Town, but I'm sure he's got like a million messages.
Oh, wow.
But I just sent him a message to just go, I just want you to know, like, what you did there was remarkable. And I'm sure you've got like hundreds of emails telling you the same thing, but I don't care. I'm adding it to it because it's important to me to let you know that you, yeah, you kind of blew my mind. And yeah, I thought that was important.
I'd also really like to just commend our really beautiful listeners on their high level of thinking. And I mean this in terms of Kelly and I cover sometimes some pretty intense things. So, for instance, we've gone through lots of stuff about eating that I know can be difficult for people, can be quite triggering, particularly people
and quite emotive.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the existential crisis one and getting negative feedback. We've covered some pretty intense topics. And I just really want to commend people on being so open with the things that we've been saying and taking on board what you as individuals get out of what we're saying. So we get lots of feedback from people saying, you know, that was actually really difficult to hear, but I really appreciated it for these following reasons. Or that was difficult to hear, and I disagree for these reasons. Because we're both so used to writing in the online space where people read something that you've written and they disagree and they basically tell you to go fuck yourself. And I just, and I mean, so we're just used to that. So I'm actually really enjoying the thoughtful, intelligent responses from such a wonderful group of listeners who I learn so much from as well. I really feel like it's such a collaborative experience that we get to have these incredible listeners. And I'm so flattered that people of this kind of intellectual consciousness listen to our podcast. It makes me very happy.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com. Bye.
for your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.